Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, February 19th, 2015. And with me today, I have the always entertaining Brian Chaffin. How are you?
Doing well, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. And it's great to have you here. It's also great to have Dave Hamilton again. How are you, Dave?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. Thanks for making the time to be here. I do appreciate it. And I also appreciate the fact that we have lynda.com as a sponsor this week. I'm excited to be talking about that soon. But before we hop into that, we have some topics that we should hit. And I thought the first thing that we could dive into is a piece that I wrote this morning that ties in very nicely to Brian's news about Apple starting a car project. And this is a lawsuit that's been filed against Apple by a company called A123 Systems. And what they do is make batteries. And one of their areas of expertise is batteries for vehicles, cars and trucks. And Apple, over an 8-month window of time, hired away the five people that were the core of a secret advanced technology group within the company that was working on new battery technology that's supposed to revolutionize the industry. They're all gone from A123. They all work at Apple now. The loss of that group of people was so devastating that A123 had to shut down other major projects because they just didn't have the people with the expertise to work on them anymore. And they're saying that because their employees had non-compete clauses in their work contracts, that by going to work for Apple, both Apple and the former employees were violating the terms of those contracts.
And sounds like they have a case.
Well, they may have a case. The lawsuit's filed in Michigan, and so I need to figure out if Michigan views non-compete clauses the same way California does, and in California, they're just not valid. So they may have some case, or maybe not. But either way, this company is kind of screwed right now because the top talent that was working on their big stuff is now working on stuff at Apple instead.
You know what? First of all, it's so interesting that you know, Apple is becoming Apple has become the unstoppable company that can pretty much do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, to whomever it wants.
We used to call that the 800-pound gorilla.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that 800-pound gorilla was Microsoft back in the day. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of how Microsoft used to poach the top people at other companies, although it was usually competitors, like Borland. You guys remember that?
Yeah. I do remember Borland. I miss Borland.
Yeah, you miss Borland because Microsoft happened to them. You know, Bill Gates was so ruthless. You know, he knew Bill Gates was a ruthless business person, and he was always interested in squashing any potential competitor to anything that Microsoft did, and to so much so that Microsoft was famous for announcing vaporware just to keep another company from getting any interest. And after they had announced something.
Yeah. Right? Well, it became such a joke because the vaporware, I mean, they were the kings of vaporware.
They were the kings of vaporware.
But they also legitimized vaporware, right? I mean, we hated them because there were all these other companies that were, you know, vaporware companies, and it was fine.
Yeah, but the thing, the difference was is that the other vaporware companies would announce something that they hoped to develop.
That's true. Yes. Right. Yeah.
And Microsoft announced stuff that it may not have even been working on, just because it didn't want another company to be able to do something, or because it thought it might be doing the same thing in 2 or 3 or 4 years, and it didn't want these other companies to be able to get a foothold in the market. I mean, so when Microsoft did it, it was to destroy the competition.
It was a predatory act.
Yeah. When most other companies announce vaporware, it's because they are either unable to bring it to market or because they're just announcing way too early and they just, you know, they're not going to be able to bring it to market. And then Microsoft would also hire people away from companies just to hurt them. And again, that's what it did with Borland.
Act.
Yeah.
They hired Borland out of existence.
They did. They hired several top Borland executives to work on Microsoft's own development tools. Borland was a maker of software development tools, and they had the most popular software development platform for Windows in the 90s. And Microsoft not only wanted to control its Windows development, but it also wanted to make sure that Borland wasn't getting in the way. So they just started hiring people away. The story that I remember is that the last key person that they hired away, they gave him $1 million bonus. This would be in the mid-90s, back when $1 million actually meant something, and told him he didn't have to show up to work for a year. Just as long as he left Borland.
And anywhere, right? Don't show up to work anywhere for the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not here at Microsoft, not at Borland. That's fascinating.
That's a pretty good especially gig if you Borland. Can get it. I mean, $1 million to just not do anything for a year?
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, but, you know, that was back when $1 million meant something.
Yeah.
So, but the difference here with Apple is that Apple doesn't care about cratering another battery company. Apple wants to make batteries for its car.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So in that sense, this is not a predatory act. This is a company looking for the talent they need, and they're going out and getting it. Another thing that is alleged in this lawsuit is that Apple has gone to partner companies that A123 works with and hired away employees, excuse me, that have worked with A123 as clients or collaborators. So they're getting people with battery technology experience from A123's colleagues.
What A123 is alleging is that Apple is actually not only getting these employees, but also getting their proprietary A123 knowledge.
Yes. Yes, they are very concerned about that as well.
And it's certainly understandable why they would be concerned about that. It would be certainly a sharp departure for Apple to knowingly do that, to hire these people to recreate the proprietary thing that they created at this other company. Apple doesn't really have a track record of doing that sort of thing.
No, they don't. But they do have a really good legal team.
They do have a great legal team, and there is always a first.
Yes. Now, my guess is that when Apple started hiring the people away from A123, that they were fully prepared to see a lawsuit come over bringing these people on board, and that they figure that they have enough legal standing to be able to keep the employees and not have the A123 lawsuit stick. Or they figure that they can just buy their way out of it. But which would still make it not stick. So one way or another, Apple must be certain that they're going to be okay with these hires. Otherwise, they wouldn't have moved forward.
Yeah, or, you know, Apple could just be willing to pay the cost.
Sure. Well, and that's paying the cost is definitely one way to make the lawsuit just go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it may be the simplest way to make it go away. It certainly goes away quickly if you do that. It sets up the next one. And so they probably need to take a step back first and make sure, okay, wait a minute. You know, how many more of these might there be?
Right.
Before they just pay it off. But
yeah, and Apple is always – Apple has a very good track record of not paying until it has to.
Right.
Right.
Apple doesn't just take its cash hoard and just start throwing money at companies just in case. Yeah, Apple extracts top dollar, top value for its dollar from everybody that the company works with. It's amazing that they've actually been able to keep that discipline after so many years of making so much money.
And yet here they are.
And yet here they are, yeah. So, well, anyway, anyone here have any doubts that Apple's working on a car?
Not a doubt at all.
No. Now, whether will we see this car ever released and when? I think those are questions we could discuss another time.
Should we dive into that right now? I have a quick thought on it.
Go.
Sure.
The kinds of products that Apple has tended to say no to in the past, right? So we've got this bar. Very few things get to the point where they're going to be released because Apple says no. But then almost everything that gets to that point does get released, right? We know this from what Steve Jobs and Tim Cook have both told us in the past. The kinds of things that Apple tends to say no to do not involve these kinds of acquisitions and hires and major investments in research. You know, having a 1,000-person team, going and getting these radio people, the kinds of people that we know that Apple has been hiring from Tesla.
Yep.
Right?
No, that, it's true.
To me, says that this product has reached that point.
It's past the tipping point. I agree. Yeah. I think it'll see the light of day.
And I'm with you.
The question is when. I mean, is this 5 years out? It could be easily, but it could also be, you know, next year. They don't tend to move at the speed of everyone else in whatever industry they're moving into.
It's very true, which is why I was saying 3 to 4 years.
Yeah,
because that's really aggressive.
Yeah, well, it is. But
how long did it take Tesla to ship their first car?
That question is only valid when you know the date that Apple started working on this.
Correct.
And we don't.
Correct. But I would say due to the size of the team and the lack of serious rumors until even the hint of a rumor until 2 years ago, I would say that within the last years.
So that puts us for as aggressive as Apple can work on a product, somewhere between next year and 5 years out, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we just have to sit back and wait and see. And yeah, we'll find out. Hey, I mentioned we have a sponsor this week, and that's lynda.com.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. And I'm really glad that they're a sponsor because when you're learning new things, that's empowering. And when you're empowering yourself, well, you're making yourself better. And being a better person, I think, is a great thing. So just fantastic that this is something that lynda.com does for us, well, for everyone. And what they do is they've put together all these really great courses on pretty much anything you could want to know. So you can learn new coding skills. You can learn how to make websites. You can learn the tasks you need to run your business. If you want to become self-sufficient for maintaining your computer instead of having to call a friend all the time, they have classes for that too. And all of these are built in easy-to-digest segments. So you can learn the stuff you need without getting overloaded and then continue on and learn more at whatever pace works best for you, which I think is a fantastic way to be able to learn. And even better, they are letting all of our listeners in on this for 10 days for free.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's beyond fun. It's fantastic. So if you go to lynda.com, and that's lynda.com/TDO, you can get yourself a free 10-day trial where you can absorb as many classes as you can possibly fit in to that 10-hour window for yourself. And depending on what it is you're trying to learn, I mean, it's possible you could, in that 10 days, get through an entire course and know whatever it is that you need to start having a better job, a better life, or just be happier. all in 10 days, which I think is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So head over to lynda.com, lynda.com/TDO. Sign up for your 10-day free trial and start learning something right away. And thank you in advance for supporting Lynda, because they're supporting us. And thank you, Lynda, for being our sponsor this week. And we do have a second topic to hit today. And this is maybe a little bit speculative, but we're deep enough inside this industry that I think we're totally safe diving into this territory. So Apple has been hiring up people that are bloggers and podcasters and journalists in the Apple tech community recently. So most recently we saw Chris Breen announce that he is leaving Macworld for Apple. Prior to that, John Seff, who had also worked for Macworld, got hired by Apple. And then before that, help me out, Brian, I forgot who was
Anand.
Before that.
Anand Shimpi from Anand Tech.
That's right, Anand Shimpi. So we have these people that have been hired, and I've been seeing speculation online because, of course, everyone loves a good conspiracy. Speculation that Apple is hiring these people from the Apple-related industry specifically because they're writers in the Apple industry.
Well, yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. Apple's going to be releasing a magazine on CD-ROM. I mean, right? I mean, is there any possible other conclusion you could reach?
I'd like to point out that you're right. Apple hired, in chronological order, Anand Shimpi, John Seff, and then Chris Breen. In the middle there, in between, they also hired a lot of other people. there's far more of a car conspiracy going on than a press conspiracy when we can point to three people. The Anand Shimpi one still, I honestly haven't researched it a whole lot, makes me kind of scratch my head because he was the founder of that site, right? So he must have gotten a pretty sweet offer to walk away and not publish there anymore. I think he retained some ownership in the site. And so you know, whatever that deal was, it obviously worked out for him, or he wouldn't have said yes. I believe, if I'm also not mistaken, John Seff was laid off first by
yes.
Macworld.
Yes,
right?
He was.
Or by IDG, and then finally got a job working at Apple. And then Chris Breen, to our knowledge. And the best part about doing this podcast today is I have yet to talk to Chris. Chris is a personal friend. So I'm sure it's possible during that conversation he'd share some things with me that aren't necessarily Apple confidential, but certainly Chris confidential, and he wouldn't want me to share. Thankfully, I haven't had that conversation with him yet, so I am free to speculate or, even better, use knowledge that I have from other sources to talk more specifically about this.
Holy smokes, when did you become a lawyer, sir?
See, did you like that?
That was impressive.
Yeah. Wow. Gene Kelly would have been proud of that. song and dance, sir. Anyway, please,
that was a nice
ahead.
Song and dance, wasn't it? All right, yeah. So with that disclaimer out of the way, we can assume that Chris was not laid off by Macworld, but I don't know that, but I'm assuming that, and that he simply chose to be perhaps proactive or simply just chose to move on to a different phase in his life. I don't know what he's being paid by Apple. I don't know what he was being paid by Macworld. It doesn't matter for the purposes of this, but I do know that he's not working in PR. He's not doing anything, to my knowledge, that will be like have, you know, Chris Breen representing Apple to the world. I think simply Apple hired him because he has some talents that they wanted to use internally, and they're using them. But I don't believe he's working in the same division as John Seff. I don't believe he's working in the same division as Anand Shimpi. In fact, it's entirely possible that the people that have hired Chris don't know Anand, and I believe they actually know Jeff. But they're not working. But Jeff's not working with them. So there you go.
Yeah. So people that are thinking Apple wants to put together their own publication, their own magazine, something like that, are probably off base. But I can see where people would think that's happening simply because of the track record Apple has had over the past several years with the types of hires they're doing in specific areas. But sometimes hiring someone at Apple is just hiring someone at Apple.
Yeah, and I get it, right? When you're someone who has written publicly about Apple, like Chris and John and Anand, there is – you, and you have your own audience, right, where these people that have trusted you for, in Chris's case, you know, decades to write about this stuff. I totally get where he felt a responsibility to tell his audience, hey, I'm stopping this and I'm starting that. Especially because Apple was involved, right? You know, very clear. He came out and said it. In fact, it was part of an article that he published at Macworld, in addition to something he wrote on his own personal blog. I get it. And when someone makes a job change like that and is then very intentionally public about the fact that this change is happening and all of that, it does draw attention. And that's the point of it, not from a you know, sinister way, but just from a okay, we're being clear with each other here, and that's smart. And I would have expect nothing less out of Chris. I mean, that's who he is, right?
Yeah, he's a classy guy.
Yeah, he totally is. Yeah. But he's he got himself a better gig, is what it turns. I would assume. Otherwise, yeah, he wouldn't have taken it.
You kind of alluded to this a bit ago, Dave, and when we were prepping for the show, we talked about this as well. Apple is hiring a lot of people. And when Apple is looking for a lot of people, the people who know people within Apple have opportunities to work for the company.
Yeah, it's called networking. Yeah. If someone is looking, if you're looking to hire someone anywhere, the first thing you think about is calling the people that you know and asking them, A, if they're interested, or if they're not, do you know someone who is? I get these kinds of phone calls all the time, and I get them from people inside Apple. So it stands to reason that Chris got one of those phone calls and actually decided, you know what, now's the right time. Let's move forward. And that's that. That's it.
But this does still represent a little bit of a change. Apple was pretty averse to members of the press working for the company when Katie Cotton was in charge of PR. When Katie Cotton was Steve Jobs' right-hand man.
Based on my understanding, that's not entirely gone. Clearly, it's gone, but there is still some resistance to doing that, and there's and so it's got to be the right person.
And well, yeah, keep in mind, this is Tim Cook's Apple now, not Steve Jobs' Apple.
And it's no longer Katie Cotton's Apple.
And it's no longer Katie Cotton's Apple. Good point. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, no conspiracy here. It looks like Apple found the right people that they needed for the right jobs. And in this case, it so happens that a few of them came from the Apple blogging and news community.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it's a classic example of correlation and causation, right? You know, there's just – there you go. Yes, these three things happen. I don't believe they're related. Although, except perhaps to your point, Brian, where there is that loosening of the press is evil.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably the biggest – in fact, that's probably the only story here. Unless you're doing a personal interest story about people like John Seff who got laid off and, hey, he got picked up by Apple. Yay for him, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's a feel-good story of the week,
you know,
right?
I wrote Chris getting hired, but that was in part because Chris deserves a send-off.
Absolutely. Right.
But I also did mention that this does represent a change from Katie Cotton's era.
Yeah, and I think that's the story here.
And we're out of time, so we're just going to have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, yes. And Dave, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, it's fun. Good stuff.
I do appreciate every time you guys are on the show. Also, thank you to lynda.com for being our sponsor. I appreciate that they're helping us keep the lights on. And go and sign up for your free 10-day trial and let them know that you appreciate that they're helping you empower yourself. So lynda.com, lynda.com/TDO. And we will see everyone again tomorrow.